welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, again, good morning. Welcome. You know, as we think about laying down our the precious people who, you know, laid down their lives for our country and gave us the freedoms that we enjoy, of course, we think of our Lord and Savior who laid down his life for us, that we enjoy the freedom that we have in Christ, the freedom that we have as children of God. It is it's a powerful day in terms of memorial and remembering people who've laid down their lives. And we think of our Lord, you know, where the scripture says in Romans, you know, while we were sinners, he died for us. He gave himself for us. And so as we come into the message this morning, I just want to come in with a certain sense of that appreciation of the grace of God, what Jesus did for us in terms of laying down his life, sacrificing his life for us. We're going to take a look at a passage of scripture this morning. And this is where Jesus is just speaking, declaring some things. John chapter 7. Now some of them from Jerusalem said, "Is this not he whom they seek to kill? But look, he speaks boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is truly the Christ? However, we know where this man is from. But when the Christ comes, no one will know where he is from." Then Jesus cried out, as he taught in the temple, saying, "You both know me, and you know where I am from. And I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you do not know, but I know him, for I am from him, and he sent me." So Jesus is clearly declaring who he is, where he is from. But I want you to take a look at this, what I've underlined here. He speaks boldly, and they say nothing to him. Jesus spoke with a boldness, with a clarity. Boldness is confidence. Many times in the face of intimidating circumstances, it's a frankness. It's a clarity, it's a bluntness sometimes as you're just declaring and boldly saying some things. Now, as we look at Jesus and his life and his character and his ministry, we know what he said about himself. He said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, you're going to find rest. I'm meek, I'm lowly in heart." He's kind, gentle, fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. But we also see he's bold. There's a boldness that Jesus had. He had a godly boldness. He's God, and he was bold. And he projected a godly boldness. And we see different places throughout Scripture where he just clearly declares things, and he's not intimidated by people, and he'll boldly declare the Word of God. We're to be like Jesus. We're to be like Jesus in his boldness. In fact, boldness, it's important to understand, is not a personality type. It's not an extrovert of a personality test. Boldness is something that's of God, that comes by the Spirit of God. And I even think of this morning as we're honoring the memory of those who've gone before us, who've laid down their lives, who are even actively serving. There's a boldness to do that. There's a boldness to step out and say, "I'm going to serve." You know? You've got to get past something. You've got to decide, "I am going to put something above self. I'm going to live for something that is greater than just my self-preservation." There is a boldness. You put yourself out there. When you live in a world of self and self-preservation, boldness is too risky. You don't want to do that. You run the math and it's not worth it. Why can we be bold? Why can we run the math and it's worth it to be bold? Jesus exhibited a boldness. There were times that he knew. I mean, I'm sure when he said, you know, they were saying, you know, Jesus was talking about Abraham lived to see my day one time. He said, and there he laughed at him. He said, "Man, you're not even 50 years old." And you've seen Abraham. And Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Now, don't you think he knew? Now, he only said what he heard the Father say. But don't you think he knew he was going to get flack for that? And yet he passed out from the midst of them. There was a boldness that he had about him. Jesus did. And it's important to understand, too, and this is just a proverb that I think also sums it up well. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. The righteous are bold as a lion. Man, it's important to understand some things. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And the gift of his righteousness isn't just to make us feel better about ourselves so we have positive self-esteem. You understand? He gave us a gift of righteousness to be able to be bold and to move and to live, that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. There's a boldness that comes from him. Now, this isn't to be confused with the wrath of man, all right? I mean, they would tell us, too, in Bible school, as they'd kind of teach along these lines, they'd say, boldness is not rudeness, all right? Boldness isn't just being rude and speaking your mind no matter what. It's not having a chip on your shoulder. You know, it's not just not having a filter. I mean, there is the boldness of man, but then there's a godly boldness. Do you understand? There's two different kinds of boldness. And sometimes we just conflate them and we can kind of run away from boldness. We don't want to do that. Jesus was bold. The righteous are bold as a lion. Important to distinguish between the two. And this morning, that's what I really want to do. That's my heart, is to look at godly boldness and what that looks like, how it's different. Jesus operated in a godly boldness, a boldness that can put yourself out there in a way, okay? And it's important when we look at godly boldness to understand, you know, where our boldness comes from, okay? And again, I just want to reiterate, this is not personality type. This is not blowing off steam. This is not wrath of man stuff. It's a boldness that comes from God. It's a boldness that is anointed and graced by the Spirit of God. And so as we look at godly boldness this morning, we're going to start with, and just kind of look out three areas this morning, let you know, where we get our boldness from in God. The first area of boldness is boldness by the blood. By the blood of Jesus Christ that gives us boldness. For we do not have a high priest who can't sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, it's interesting where the boldness comes here. The boldness comes before we get the mercy. The boldness is there before we have the grace to help. We're coming boldly to get those things. In other words, you don't feel bold here, right? If I missed it and I messed up and I need mercy, I'm not feeling bold. But by faith, I come boldly to the throne of grace to get that mercy and grace. Why can I have boldness here? He kind of says, come boldly to the throne of grace. He puts it in another way in Hebrews chapter 10. He says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having made a high priest forever over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Okay, now in Hebrews 9:14, he puts it this way. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? There is a confidence that we have by the blood of Jesus Christ. This is the new and living way that we're coming through by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm so grateful for the blood of Jesus. You know, one thing the enemy loves to do is he loves to play on our conscience. If you've missed it, he will accuse. He's the accuser of the brethren. And you know what? It takes boldness when you're spinning in your head to get off that merry-go-round and say, I'm going back into the presence of God. The enemy is building a case to discourage you from ever going back there again. But no, I'm his, and I can go back because there's a blood that will cleanse my conscience from dead works to serve the living God. When you first get saved, when you first become a child of God, that's one of the greatest things of your first love, is realizing that you're saved by grace through faith, that it's the gift of God. It's unmerited favor. And as a Christian, as you grow and mature spiritually, you realize that same truth applies to your life now as a believer. In other words, grace isn't just unmerited favor for the sinner. Grace is unmerited merited favor for the believer too. I'm coming into the throne of grace to receive forgiveness and cleansing, and it's a gift, and it's grace. And it's like, oh, I'm right over here spinning and trying to figure things out and solve things, but if I just come boldly to the throne of grace by faith, the same way I just came by faith to the cross to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, I'm coming by faith to the throne of grace again to receive mercy and grace to help, to receive a blood that will cleanse my conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Our confidence and our boldness is by the blood. My boldness is not on the basis of my devotion time. My boldness is not on the basis of how many scriptures I've read. This is where we can get into a religiously jaded mindset. You know, you gotta go, you gotta live in that place of your first love. It's Jesus Christ. It's His mercy. It's His grace. I thank God that I can sow to the Spirit. I can reap of the Spirit. I can bear fruit for the kingdom of God. I can store up riches in heaven from that fruit. But those riches, that fruit, cannot cleanse my conscience from dead works. When I miss it, I can't point to my fruit and say, look at that, God. No. I just come before the throne of grace and say, I'm sorry, I missed it. This is how John puts it. He says, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and don't practice the truth. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Later he says, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. He knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And that word confidence is the same word for boldness. Exact same Greek word. We have boldness toward God. We have confidence toward God. Where does it come from? It comes from the grace of God. It comes from the blood of Jesus Christ. Again, this is something that we have to get deep in our hearts as believers to know where our grace, where our forgiveness comes from. It's the grace of God from the beginning to the end. And so, as we look at this, the Apostle Paul, you know, in one situation here, was having to deal with somebody. Let me back up for one thing. I just want to say one other thing here, too. What is it? If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and don't practice the truth. Okay, that's like what I'm describing over here. I've said it, I did it, I missed it, I'm wrong. Now, you can stay here for months, you can stay here for years, or you can stay here for just a minute and go into the presence of God. The answer is going to be the same no matter how long you stay here. The answer is the throne of grace. Yes. There's no other answer here. There's nothing of self that you can do. Why is that? Because when you become a child of God, you're born again, your spirit's brand new. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. But if I sin, now my conscience is condemning me. All right? That's my mind. That's my, you know, in my heart, in my mind. Your conscience is kind of like where your spirit meets your soul. It's kind of like right there in your mind area. That's why the word can divide your soul and your spirit and put a gap in there and help you call things out. That's the power of the Word of God to do that. You can get in between your soul and your spirit. But right there, right where they meet, that's conscience. And you notice he says, he doesn't say, for if God condemns us, he says, for if our own heart condemns us. What's the battle that's going on here? You're a born-again new creation in Christ Jesus, and your conscience is saying, we just said and did something that doesn't agree with who we are. That's wrong, and I know it's wrong. And right here is where, again, however long we stay here to try to justify it, or they did this and they said that, that's why I did this, or, you know, you can play that kind of game of self-justification and all that, but at some point, you got to say, hey, I said it, I did it, I'm saying I have fellowship, but I'm walking in darkness. I'm wrong here. I'm deceiving myself. But I'm going to confess my sins. I'm going to come boldly to that throne of grace. And He's merciful and faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me. If my heart condemns me, what is that action? It's not God condemning you. It's your own heart condemning you. Because you really are a born-again child of God. And when you get that right and your conscience is now in line with who you are, it's like, whoa, here we go again. What happened here? You just got your conscience in line with your spirit and who you are, and it's like, well, all go. It's like, here we go again. It's not that I'm perfect. It's not that I'm fully matured. I just got my conscience in line with who I am. My heart's condemning me. My own heart, my spirit is saying, that's not who we are. We don't act like that. We don't talk like that. We know better. We're coming in line. It's like, okay, good. The Apostle Paul had to address an issue with the church of Corinth back in his day. And he wrote them a letter saying, hey, you got to get this right. You got to get your heart right. And so we see what happened with them when they decided to go from here into grace, into the throne of grace. It says, for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. You can be over here, feel sorry for yourself, and it can take you into a trajectory of self-destruction over here to a whole other area. Holy Spirit is the one who guides us back to the throne of grace. For I observed this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner. What diligence it produced in you, what clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication. And all these things you proved yourself to be clear in this matter. What is it? There's a boldness that comes by the blood of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said, I don't set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness came through the law, then Christ died in vain. Man, this is where it starts. Before you can ever talk about being bold and being, the boldness has to start inside. What is that promise? He says, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. When you're in that place of confidence toward God, then you can begin to have confidence toward people and things that he wants to show you to say and to do. But it starts with your confidence toward God. It's very hard to have confidence when your own heart's condemning you. It's hard to stand up and really have authority when your own heart is condemning you and giving you problems. But this is where our boldness comes from. Is there a boldness? Yeah, it starts with the blood of Jesus. In other words, it's so hard to sometimes put this into words, but, well, the Apostle Paul put it pretty eloquently. He said, you know, if anybody was going to put confidence in the flesh in terms of what they did, he said, I could do it more than anybody. I was a Jew of the Jews. I did all the right stuff. And he said, but all those things that I thought were my gain, he said, I count them as loss that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness that's my own, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus. It's righteousness. It's right standing with God. And this is the coolest thing. Now, if you've walked with God, you know what I'm talking about. But you experience a fellowship with God, a walk with God. And you know you're not perfect, and yet you're having fellowship with him. And if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And it's like, I got fellowship. I'm hearing things. I'm getting things. I'm talking. There's nothing on my heart that I haven't confessed. It doesn't mean that I have the answer for everything, but I've confessed it, and I got my heart clear with him. What is that? That's righteousness. I'm walking with God again. And it's so important to understand that this is not a spirituality contest where I'm trying to get victory over these things so that I can walk with God. No. I get forgiveness and cleansing from those things so that I can walk with God and overcome those things by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. This is where it's so important to understand my boldness is by the blood. My boldness isn't because I've already got victory over something. My boldness is by the blood now, by faith, knowing that by the blood of the Lamb, the word of my testimony, I'm going to put to death that deed of the body and that work of the flesh and overcome this area of my life. But I do it with him. I do it as my walk with him. It's an interesting paradox. Religion doesn't work that way. Religion is a performance trap where you got to dot all the I's, cross all the T's, and then get a status or something. God doesn't work that way. We're all at different levels. We're all growing. The Apostle Paul himself said, I don't count myself to have apprehended. I don't count myself to have attained. But one thing that I do, forgetting those things that are behind, I'm reaching forward to those things which are ahead. That's a guy who's just walking with God. And that's what righteousness is. You're just walking with God where you are. No matter where you are. Just walk with him right now. It starts now. I'm standing here. If I'm standing here playing hard to get with the grace of God, I'm just hurting myself, right? At some point, I got to step up, sign up, get bold, and come boldly to that throne of grace with no excuses, just saying, this is what I did. This is what I said. It's wrong, and I just need your grace, Father God. I'm humbling myself, right? Again, the boldness of man is predicated on pride and wrath. The bold, godly boldness is predicated on humility, where you're humbling yourself to the grace of God. I need the grace of God. You did it again? Yes. I did it again. But the answer is still the same. You understand? And I know it can be frustrating. And a lot of times people can get into the area of cheap grace and taking advantage of the grace of God and all that kind of stuff. I'm going to tell you this. If your conscience is condemning you, don't worry about people's religious games. Go back to the throne of grace, obtain mercy, and find grace to help in time of need. It's not just a matter of getting forgiven. It's a matter of getting back in fellowship with God. And in that fellowship with God, he's going to give you those straight paths for your feet. He's going to show you what to do next. He's going to guide you, but you got to start with fellowship with God. That was the whole purpose of the forgiveness of sins. Jesus didn't just die for a forgiveness of sins religion. He died to forgive our sins, to restore us back into that garden fellowship with God so that we could walk and talk in the cool of the day. That was the purpose, to restore fellowship with God. Not just forgiveness for the sake of forgiveness. It was a means to an end of fellowship. So, our boldness starts with the blood of Jesus. It starts with his grace. It starts with, again, I'm not going to play hard to get with that grace. I'm going to boldly come in and receive it. And I know, let me just say this. I know in the face, when you're over here, there's a lot going on here. There can be a sense of, emotional baggage and things, and I've done this before, and why am I, there's a lot of junk. I get it. But there's a boldness. It takes boldness to get out of that and to go before the throne of grace and make it simple again. Do that. That's where your boldness is. It's in grace. It's in the blood of Jesus Christ. Why? Not because of anything that I did, but there's a new and living way that he made for me. He made it for me. It's not a religious figment of my imagination. Jesus did the heavy lifting, made a way. And now I come boldly to that throne of grace and I obtain mercy and find grace to help. That's all I do. It's not dramatic. It's simple. It's from the heart. But God meets you there by his Spirit, and he will meet you there. And you'll sense his presence in a very wonderful, powerful way. Sense the sense of being in fellowship with him again. But that boldness comes through the blood of Jesus. I've had sins forgiven in my life because of the blood of Jesus. I've had my conscience cleansed from dead works because of the blood of Jesus. Not pride in religious accomplishment, but in the precious grace of God. That's it. That's it. We just got to say, hey, Lord, I'm not gonna strive. As a Keith Green song, my son, why are you striving? You can't add one thing to what I've done for you. I did it all when I was dying. Rest in my grace, my peace will come to you. When I hear the praises start, I want to rain upon you. When you get here and you receive that grace by faith, it just causes thanksgiving. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for forgiving me again. Thank you for making me lie down in green pastures again and leading me beside still waters again. You are faithful. Even if I'm faithless, you remain faithful. I'm so glad you do. Hallelujah. You fall deeper and deeper in love with him. And your roots grow down deeper and you walk in a fellowship that makes you overcome, praise God, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony. Another area of confidence that we have in him is also, there's a boldness by the word. Okay, this is really important. It starts with the blood. It starts with me talking with God. Because once I get talking with God, once I get fellowshipping with God, man, then you begin to dialogue. Then you begin to get stuff. You get content. A lot of times in the day and age that we live in terms of social media, the big thing is content. I want content. I want fresh content. I want new content, more content. Well, you begin to get content when you begin to walk with God. You're out here, not even really addressing the issues of your life, you begin to wonder about stuff, but then you get your heart right with God again, and then all of a sudden you begin to get content. All of a sudden the Word doesn't condemn me. The Word is there to feed me. The Spirit is there to speak to me. I don't have to be afraid of His voice. I can let His voice through now because I'm walking in fellowship. Why? Because I'm righteous because of the blood of Jesus. I'm not trying to defend anything anymore. I'm just yielded. Here you are, Lord. Okay, now let's talk. All right, that first boldness sets us up for another boldness, a boldness by the word. Now, we're going to look at how Jesus walked in this boldness. Again, we said at the beginning, Jesus walked in a boldness, but that boldness came from a place. Now, this is when he was being tempted. It says, now when the tempter came to Jesus, he said, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Isn't that powerful? God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He dwelt among us and then lifted up the written Word of God and said, it is written. Boy, talk about establishing proof of concept that God could speak to imperfect man, sovereignly preserve it through the years to where he could become flesh himself and lift it up and say, it is written, on the authority of the written Word that was written by imperfect human beings as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The authority to be able to stand on the written Word. Yeah. It is written. Man, this is humility again, right? There's a boldness and a humility. But what's the humility here? You're humbling yourself to the Word of God. One of the ways that Jesus lived boldly is he humbled himself to the written Word of God. He found his authority to resist in written words. Amazing. In other words, when it came to turning stones into bread, Jesus wasn't like a matter of, well, this is what I think about turning stones into bread. There's no what I think about. It is written. It is written. A lot of times this world will engage us in different arguments and moral things and different things. What do you think? Well, I think, and according to my calculations and my amazing compassion and understanding, this is what I think. All the I's gone. There's a humility, and it is written. Yeah. I take every one of my I think thoughts and I bring it into captivity to it is written. Yeah. That's boldness, though, because then I'm siding with God. I'm siding with him. And you can accuse me however you want to accuse me, but I'm going to stay agreeing with him. But there's a boldness that I get when I agree with him. Yeah. And I say, it is written. This is what the Word says. There's a boldness from knowing what is written. Jesus derived a boldness from it is written that could show down the kingdom of darkness with it is written. That's where his boldness came from. Also, he's led by the Spirit of his Father at the time, which would be the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself. Think about this. The Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. We're talking about where that boldness came from. There's a humility in this. Now think of this. He's the Son of God. Again, he's the Son of God who inspired the written Word. And yet, he said, it is written. Pretty amazing. Now we know that apart from him, we can do nothing. But what did he say? He said, the Son can do nothing. The Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. You can see he's coming down here to model something for us, right? Later, he came not just to redeem us, but also to model for us how to live. And you see this humility. The Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son does like manner. I've not spoken on my own authority, but the Father gave me commandment, what I should say, what I should speak. In other words, he's dialed in, right? He's in fellowship with the Father. That's why the first boldness is so important. Boldness by the blood. We got to get in that place of fellowship. Once we're in that place of fellowship, we're going to get content. We're going to get stuff. We're going to read stuff. We're going to hear stuff. Things to say, things to do. But think of the humility of Jesus. He said, For I have not spoken on my own authority. What does that mean? Jesus didn't say everything he knew. Jesus said what he had permission to say from the Father about what he knew. He didn't speak on his own authority. In fact, there were times where he'd look at his disciples and say, man, there's things I'd love to tell you guys. You can't bear it. I don't have the go from the Father to be able to say it. So there's a sacrifice when we restrict ourselves
to have a filter of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. But man, when we do get the go, when we do get that thing that God says, there's an authority and there's an anointing on that. It's not that there's an anointing and authority on everything that I say about what I know. It's about what I have permission to say about what I know. So Jesus, God in the flesh, ultimate humility, modeling for us how to live, says, I can do nothing except that which I see the Father do. Say what I hear him say. But when he did that, when he was patient, when he waited on the Father, then man, everything you say then is going to be automatically anointed. It just is, because it is the will of God. It is the Word of God. Now, we have the same, you know, that these are the same admonitions that come to us as believers as well, too, when it comes to the written Word and when it comes to the Spirit of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. All right? So this is where we look at the Scripture. It is inspired by God. It's profitable to correct me, to train me. Have you ever run into things in the Word of God that you wish wasn't in the Word of God? Yeah, we all have. And we think, man, I don't know how in the world I can do that, but by the grace of God, praise God. That's your way. Your ways are higher than my ways. And thank God for His Word. Thank God, because what does that ultimately define? The Word of God defines what it means to either sow to the Spirit or sow to the flesh. And if the Word points something out in our lives that is not quite right, then if we don't correct it, it can become like a blind spot almost spiritually. If we stay in that course, we're reaping of the flesh and not realizing why are things happening. God's showing us things, adjustments, tweaks. Again, my righteousness is not perfectly a perfect life as far as never doing anything wrong. I mean, we're just walking in the light that we have, okay? And this is where it's important when you look at the Scripture. Bible's a big book. The Apostle Paul said, I don't count myself to have apprehended. All right, we're all still growing, right? But we're just walking in that light that we have. But the Word of God gives us that direction. And the thing of it is there's authority in that. In the same way I can get in kind of this weird paradigm mode and play, you know, games with the grace of God and play hard to get with the grace of God, I can play hard to get with simply obeying the Word of God too. But there is freedom in the Word of God. I got to remind myself, hey, Ed, when it comes to forgiveness, that Jesus paid the price. I know your conscience is bothering you. I know your heart is condemning you, but there's something greater than your heart. The grace of God can cleanse that conscience from dead works. Same games that go here. I just can't see. I just make that decision. But I know one thing. If I forgive, all right, I don't want to forgive. But I know that if I forgive, I'm in agreement with God. God says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. And your soul can be repulsed by that, but in your heart, you know, this is right. This is what God did for me. And this is what he's calling me to do also, to love like he loved. These can be some places of love. It can be where, like, we have our own Gethsemanes with, like, Jesus. Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Please. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but your will be done. Beautiful, perfect example. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I mean, wow. Jesus said, he who has my commandments and keeps them, me and my Father will come to him, and I will manifest myself to him and make myself real to him. It's not just, I'm going to obey. You're going to obey, but he sees your heart in that obedience, and he's going to give you grace in that. He's going to help you. He knows that pain. He understands that. He's going to help you in that time of need, and that grace right there. And so as we look at this, we see that we have that same reality that, okay, grace of God, forgiveness, cleanse conscience, but the Word of God is true. I might fight with that. I may wrestle with it. But, you know, I like to say it this way. Like with Jacob, if the Lord ever invites you to a wrestling match, he expects you to win. He wants you to wrestle with him until you see it, until you surrender, till you get it, till you get it and say, yes, amen, that's my will. Lord, I'm going to forgive even as you've forgiven me. I'm in agreement with your word. What does that do? Man, it'll come into a place in your heart and the strength will rise up and the Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. That's right. That's true. And which brings us to the next scripture. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll guide you into all truth. He won't speak on his own authority. This looks similar. He won't speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So here again, we see that same amazing thing that happened with Jesus. Jesus said, I don't speak on my own authority. I just take what the Father gives me, right, and I share it with you. Jesus said that same dynamic is going to happen with you in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to come live in you. And the Holy Spirit won't speak on his own authority either. Amazing. He'll take the things of mine and he'll show them unto you. In the same way that Jesus was the perfect messenger of the Father, the Holy Spirit in you is the perfect messenger of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is Christ in you. I wish I could see Jesus. The Holy Spirit would say, have I been so long with you, Ed, and still you don't know me? He's Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's perfectly representing the Lord in the same way the Lord perfectly represented the Father. You have Jesus on the inside of you, working with you, fellowshipping with you. So Jesus operated that way, and there's boldness. So you could have some things sometimes. I'm going to just bring it down home. You might be talking with somebody. You might be fellowshipping with somebody. You may be working with somebody, all right? And maybe, you know, there's some things that you would like to see some changes and different things like that. Again, you don't just say everything you know. You pray, and you listen, and you say what you have permission to say about what you know. Sometimes the Spirit of God might just say, stop, you know, just stop and pray. I just want you to pray. Don't say a word right now. I just want you to pray for that person, all right? And then you pray, and then you might see him, and then the Lord might give you a little something to say. You can say whatever he shows you to say. But the thing of it is, when you're led by the Spirit and you just do what he shows you, there will be an anointing on that. There will be a grace on that. And that's the powerful thing about the Spirit. You know, when you're just agreeing with God, when you're agreeing with his word, then you know that there's an certainty. That's really the basis of faith, because I know what the word of God says. And that's what brings us to this final scripture in this section, 1 John 5:14. It says, this is the confidence. Again, that word confidence is boldness. This is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness, which we have in him. We are sure that if we ask anything, make any request according to his will, in agreement with his own plan, he listens to and hears us. And if, since we positively know that he listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted us as our present possession the requests made of him. This is amplified. It's kind of a wordy version of that, but I just wanted to go a little deeper into some of these words, because what is he saying here? This is not the arrogance that we have in him. You know, faith, what we call faith, again, it's kind of like boldness. There can be a boldness of man that can be nothing more than a bunch of insecurity and wrath and anger and hatred, or there can be a godly boldness that comes from a clear conscience that's been granted by the grace of God, that's according to his word, right? Those are clear. The same way faith can be distorted sometimes too. Faith is not the arrogance, all right? The scripture doesn't say, and this is the arrogance that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, I know he's going to hear me because I'm his child and I've got his promise. There's no arrogance here, all right? It's nothing like that. It's coming from a spirit of confidence, because I've agreed with his will. I'm agreeing with his spirit. I'm agreeing with his word. My conscience is clear. Now I'm praying according to his will. I'm praying his will. I'm praying his heart, all right? And so when I'm praying about things and I'm asking God of things, I can know that according to his word, that he said, if I seek first the kingdom of God, he's going to add everything that I need to me. He'll add all these things to me, the clothes and the needs and my daily things. He is going to do that. Lord, my heart is seeking first your kingdom. And I thank you that according to your word, that when I'm asking, when I'm seeking, when I'm knocking, that door will be opened. I know that's your heart for me to ask, to seek, to knock. There's a heart that has a boldness in prayer, that has a boldness to ask God. That, again, it's not a flippant, arrogant type thing. It is a kind, it is a gracious thing that comes from a place of humility. So when we begin to pray, and we begin to pray boldly, it's on a basis of this. It's just like Jesus. When Jesus, before he raised Lazarus from the dead, he said, Father, I thank you that you always hear me. Always hear me when I pray. Exactly what John is saying here. He said, this is the confidence. We know that he hears us. We know that whatever we ask, we're going to receive of him. Okay? So what are we doing? We're just getting into a place We're getting into a place of boldness where our conscience is restored. So when my conscience is clear, I can begin to boldly ask things in prayer. I want breakthrough. I want direction. Great. Begin to pray out some things that you know are in accordance with His will. And He's going to begin to answer you and have that confidence. Finally, there's a boldness by the Spirit of God. Okay? When I think of boldness by the Spirit of God, this is probably the classic verse that jumps into my heart. Kind of knowing where that boldness comes from. Therefore, I remind you, this is Paul talking to Timothy, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. There's a boldness that comes from the blood. There's a boldness that comes by agreeing with God in the Word. And there's a boldness that comes from the Spirit of God on the inside of you. You can have perfect theology, in a sense, but you need the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. We need to intentionally stir up the gift of God that's on the inside of us. You know, a lot of times we think of our movies of superheroes and things like that, and you know, they've all got their little superpowers and things that they do, and you know, if they might look like a regular ordinary person, and then they've got a, you know, Clark Kent would go into that phone booth and come out as Superman, you know, there'd be something that they would do that would kind of trigger that superpower that's in them. Well, the Scripture reminds us that we have to stir up the gift of God. I mean, sometimes you go and you think, oh, that's right, I have the Holy Spirit in me. Man, that sometimes has been one of the most encouraging thoughts, just that I have the Holy Spirit of God in me. I'm just about to give up, and then I realize He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ask or think, according to the Spirit of God who lives on the inside of me. I can do all things through Christ through that same Spirit. Man, what a powerful reminder. But you're stirring up the Spirit of God. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I love that, that boldness that comes out. The Spirit is going to stir up a boldness and a confidence, a soundness of mind to help you think clearly, to help you think right. And I think of, you know, when I think of somebody who knew where their strength came from, if you guys might remember that old cartoon, Popeye the Sailor Man. It was the old sailor guy who would have his spinach. And he was just kind of a sailor guy. You know, he's a pretty strong guy, but not super big. But then you had Brutus, who's this huge, muscular beast of a guy. And they're fighting over olive oil, okay, who's Popeye's girlfriend. And Brutus would come and steal olive oil. You know, it probably ran for years. It's the same premise probably in every one of those little episodes. But, you know, Brutus would come, big, strong guy, and punch Popeye out of the way. But then Popeye would get his, you just knew that once Popeye got that spinach, it was over. He was going to get back. He was going to, you know, punch out Brutus, get his girl back. But all that power and strength, Popeye knew where it came. It came from the spinach. Brutus, his strength came from his muscles. That's what he knew, where his strength came from. But Popeye knew that his strength wasn't coming from his muscles. It came from that little can of spinach. So some of you guys remember that old cartoon. Remember this. Remembering where your boldness comes from, where your strength comes from. It doesn't come from your great history and all the things that you've done for God and all that stuff. That's when you get old and stale. But when you want a boldness that comes from God, it is a fresh stirring up of the gift of God and the grace of God. The Spirit is real. I mean, we did a message a few weeks back called Spiritual Things Are Real. There's a real stirring up of the Spirit where you experience the Spirit of God and experience in God. We were called not just to know theologically that He dwells in us, but we were called to experience the righteousness, the peace, and that joy in the Holy Ghost that's unexplainable, that gives you a confidence toward Him. But there's a stirring up of the Spirit of God. And so we get a practical way. Don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. This is what we did this morning. What were we doing this morning? We were drinking this morning. We were drinking of the Spirit of God, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks to God always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. What are we doing? We're getting stirred up in the Spirit of God. We're coming under that influence of the Spirit of God. In other words, he's saying here, don't come under the influence of wine that's going to cause you to be drunk and do things you regret doing later. Come under the influence of the Spirit of God. And you'll begin to cross lines that you've always wanted to cross and have the boldness to do the things that you've always wanted to do. In other words, when it comes to alcohol, there's things you wouldn't do unless you were under the influence of alcohol. When it comes to the Spirit, there's things you won't do for God unless you're under the influence of the Spirit. You can know the theologically right thing to do, but it's the Spirit that gives you the boldness. It's the Spirit that gives you the strength. Remember Peter, night Jesus was betrayed, he said, "Man, Jesus, I don't care if everybody, you know, runs away from you, I will stand by your side, I'll fight for you, I'll die for you, Jesus." And he makes all these big oaths and declarations of his courage and all that stuff. And, you know, Jesus said, "Well, you know, good heart, Peter, but you're going to deny me 3 times. But I prayed for you that you won't lose faith, that you will restore your brethren when this thing is over." So Jesus knew that Peter was going to fail. He didn't even pray that he wouldn't fail. He just prayed for that he wouldn't lose his faith after he failed. Stay with it. Don't give up. Don't give up on your faith. If you failed, he's there. In fact, he ever lives to make intercession for you in the same way he made intercession for Peter that night. He makes intercession for you to not lose faith. But when Peter was restored, I mean, he denied 3 times that he even knew Jesus, the 3rd time with cursing. Days later, after the resurrection, they help get a guy healed, and they have to account before the who's who of Israel. And this is Peter's response. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, again, things you'll do full of the Holy Spirit that you wouldn't do unless you're full of the Holy Spirit. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Wow, strong language. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Here's just a powerful thing. This is the same Peter who denied him 3 times is now standing up before all the rulers, all the people with the power, you know, and he tells them. Now, what happens after this? It says that they were scourged. They were beaten. And what did Peter do after that? He left there rejoicing that he was counted worthy of the honor of being persecuted for Jesus. Boy, you can tell that spirit wasn't like, "I'm running the math here, and if I get her done," there's no math. "I'm doing what God has told me to do," and he knew what the Lord told him. Just because you do what the Lord shows you to do doesn't mean that everybody's going to reply perfectly all the time. You might get persecuted, but even when you're persecuted, you're thankful that you're worthy to be persecuted. You know, if Jesus couldn't say and do everything just right so that nobody was ever offended, you're not going to be able to say and do everything just right. He said what he heard the Father say and do. You're going to say what you say and hear what the Father does. Sometimes you're going to get persecuted. That doesn't mean you missed it. Patient, wait, do what God shows you to do. But then when you do get persecuted, praise God. Thank you, Lord. You know, I've done what you've called me to do. There's no shame. There's no condemnation. I know my heart's right in what I said, what I did. And then finally, this is the other way, just in, by the Spirit, that we look to God for that grace and strength. "Now the Lord, look upon their threats. Grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal. Signs of wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." When they had prayed, the place where they assembled together was shaken. They're filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. This is the Apostle Paul saying, you know, putting on the armor of God. He says, "Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." A big part of boldness, too, it's not just the humility of coming in by the blood and the humility of agreeing with the Word of God, no matter how your body or mind might be fighting you. There's also the humility of prayer, asking for it. "God, give me boldness. I'm stirring up the Spirit of God on the inside of me. I'm coming under the influence, getting filled with the Holy Spirit so that I have boldness to say what you want me to say, do what you want me to do, but I pray for that." before I was in a stint in Minnesota back when I was at another church where we'd hit the streets in Hennepin. I actually worked with a guy who did that regularly, and I went out a couple times with him. But man, before they would go to Hennepin Avenue in Minneapolis, if you know where that is, kind of a dark part of town, with the gospel just sharing, they would spend an hour praying, just getting built up, praying in the Spirit, praying for boldness, praying and getting prayed. And I never experienced, I'd read this, but then you get on a bus with all these people and they're just praying. And you get off that bus and it's like, wow, you've come out of your phone booth, right? And there's a strength on the inside where you're not afraid, like Peter was afraid, you know, to acknowledge he even knew the Lord. But now he's filled with the Holy Spirit and he can tell whoever. That's what Jesus said would happen. Tarry in Jerusalem. You're going to receive power to be witnesses. And that's what the Spirit of God does. He gives you that power, that boldness. So we have a godly boldness, right? It's not a wrath of man. It's not a swag. It's not a chip on the shoulder. It's not a filterless person. In fact, our boldness starts with grace and the reality that we need a Savior. We need forgiveness and cleansing. We're not perfect. It's not about us. It's about a grace of God that forgives and cleanses us. It's a boldness that comes as we agree with His Word. We humble ourselves, we humble our thoughts, our ways, and we come in alignment with His ways, and then also by the power of His Spirit. It's great to have good theology come into an agreement, but we also need the strength of the Holy Spirit. We need to pray for that boldness and ask for His grace in those things so that we can do the things that He's called us to do. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning that there is such a thing as godly boldness, and I pray for each one here this morning that we would just respond to the Holy Spirit, that we would step out and realize that we can live in a place of clarity, boldness, wholeness, strength, Father God, having a sense that we are absolutely in the game, doing what You've called us to do, being part of Your will being done on earth as it is in heaven, Lord, in Your family, Father. I just thank You for it. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for the blood. I come boldly to the throne of grace to receive Your mercy and Your grace to help. I said it. I did it. I confess it. I don't defend it. I just declare that I need Your forgiveness. I need Your grace. I receive forgiveness and I receive cleansing. Blood of Jesus, cleanse my conscience from those dead works. I need Your grace, Lord. I receive Your forgiveness. Thank You for Your love. Now I walk in fellowship with You, Lord. Show me Your word. I want Your word to correct me, to guide me. Help me to come into agreement with Your word, to be on Your side, to know that I have confidence, because that's what You say. Help me to be patient and to speak as one under authority, not just saying what I know, but what I have permission to say about what I know. That will be anointed. That will be like Jesus. I stir up the Spirit of God. My strength comes by You, Holy Spirit. You're the greater one. I yield to You. And I pray, Father, give me boldness. Give me a door of utterance. I want to declare Your word. I want to bring glory to You, Lord. I thank You for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning. I just believe, you know, especially in this day where we got a lot of stuff going on and different things going on, we can kind of get stirred up and riled up and different things like that and off here and kind of wonder if about being bold and all that. God wants us to be bold in the middle of everything that's going on. But first things first, it starts at the throne of grace and then the Word of God and listening on the inside, stirring up the Spirit of God and then doing what He shows us to do. That's the way we're bold. Amen? Praise God.